Welcome to the Ride With Us podcast, presented by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, the world's largest ride enthusiast organization dedicated to the appreciation, promotion, and preservation of roller coasters around the globe. So please keep your hands and feet inside the podcast at all times as we welcome in your host.
Hello, enthusiasts. It's your host, Jessica Gardner. Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple launch strata coaster, will be making its thrilling debut this year at Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. Back at the IAPA Expo, when the train was revealed, I was fortunate enough to sit in it and interview Tony Clark, Director of Communications for Cedar Point, which of course we posted back in November with the IAPA episodes. But with the coaster opening so soon, we had to chat with him again and get the scoop. Correspondent and editor Bob Randolph talked to Tony not only all about Top Thrill 2, but also about the famous Christmas videos, how much parks work together and what they learn from each other, and even how much they listen to enthusiasts and pay attention to what's said on social media. So let's launch right into this interview. Take it away, Bob and Tony.
Welcome into the Ace Ride With Us podcast. I'm Bob Randolph. It is my extreme pleasure to welcome in a guy that I wanted to talk to for years upon years now. The one, the only, the legend, maybe even say the face of Cedar Point, the director of communications, Tony Clark. Tony, welcome on in. Appreciate you being here.
Bob, thank you so much for having me. I've heard about the podcast. I am glad that Ace has one. I am honored to actually be a part of it and honored to talk to you as well. This is exciting.
Well, thank you very much. It's great. Let's get a little bit of background on you. Let's start kind of where you're from. I know that you're from Wisconsin, but where exactly in Wisconsin are you from?
I am a Wisconsinite. Yes, I grew up in the small little Chicago suburb called Milwaukee, as they affectionately refer Milwaukeeans to. They go, "Oh, that's cute, a suburb of Chicago." right. But yeah, that's where I lived all my life and grew up, going to Great America in Chicago. So that was my home park, and that's kind of where my love of theme parks and the industry began. And, you know, studied there through high school, college, got my degree in television news broadcasting, and more broadly journalism and mass communication, as they called it, and worked in radio for several years there as a DJ production guy, and then came down here to Sandusky when a public relations job opened up, and it was then I ended up moving here. So Wisconsin's got a very, very, very big place in my heart. It's always going to be home, as people do say when they move away, and I love going back and visiting and seeing friends and eating all of the delicious food that I miss that is not here in Sandusky. So
I lived in Milwaukee for a little bit myself, probably about a year and a half total. Cops Burgers. Ugh. You and I, sometime we will go back there and we'll grab one. How does that sound?
What's funny? I will gladly do that. And there was a time in my television side of my career where I actually was able to do a live shot at Cops and do a story on it. And if you ever do get to go to Milwaukee, please stop at Cops Frozen Custard. It is fantastic. And a lot of people will say, like, they go to an amusement park and they have custard. It is not custard. I mean, I even had an argument with our food and beverage team yesterday. we were trying soft serve, because in this region in Ohio, and I'm assuming everywhere else, that people call soft serve custard in the same way that people call down in the South, all soda is Coke. So right. It's the same kind of principle here, but you have not had actual frozen custard until you've had it from a place like Cops Frozen Custard, because in Wisconsin, they like quadruple the dairy fat that's in the mix. And so you get this like undescribable creamy buttery goodness that is flavored, and it is unlike anything you've ever tasted. Now, I will say this, if you do have a Culver's originated in Wisconsin, and they are kind of everywhere. So if you wanted to like kind of get a taste of it, go to a Culver's and have some frozen custard there, because that'll give you an idea of what the difference is between that. I'm going off. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay, because I remember when I lived there, and you're absolutely right. That is the way to go. If you're going to do it that way.
Yeah. Well, between the soft serve and the custard, the actual frozen custard, you will realize there's a difference, but Cops does it the best. They have awesome burgers, awesome, just delicious food. The people there are also so nice. The family is amazing. They have great restaurants in the city throughout, and not just Cops Frozen Custard, but they do visit if you get a chance, because and then tell them that Tony and Bob sent you, because it's definitely a must stop and see and eat.
I see a road trip in our future. That's what
have time, I will do a road trip.
Yeah, you're just a little bit busy with what you do. Yeah. So you mentioned that the PR position opened in Sandusky was, and I'm assuming that was with Cedar Point.
Yeah. Yeah,
was that your first foray into the industry?
You know, funny you should mention that. So when I was 16 years old, I had found out from friends that there was a bus program for Six Flags Great America, where they would bus people down to Gurnee to work. And I literally begged my mom, like, "Mom, you have to let me go work. Please let me apply. Please let me apply." So I actually worked in the food and beverage team for a little bit, and I was riding the bus back and forth a few nights a week. And my mom picked me up and dropped me off each time. God rest her soul. She did everything that she could to make sure I was happy. That's kind of where it started. Then I transitioned to the rides department at one point. So I was there for two summer seasons, and enjoyed every minute of it. And as I got older and got my degree and moved on, I visited Cedar Point for the first time back in 2000 when Millennium Force was opened. That became my instant favorite ride of all time. It still is my favorite coaster. And then I fell in love with the park, started visiting every year after that. And then back in 2005, that's when I applied and came down for an interview, and they hired me. So I mainly focused on public relations, just media relations then, because there wasn't a lot of all this social stuff, and, you know, YouTube wasn't huge, and all these things were just kind of in their infancy. So I got my experience down in Chicago, but that really is where I knew, like, wow, this is such a great business. People just come to have a good time. I get to literally make people happy. I get to do my passion. So yeah, it's once it bites you professionally, it's kind of hard to get out of it. I don't even know what I would do after this, because I don't know that I'm good at anything else now. So, my mom always said, I've always had the gift of gab. So, you know, working in radio, that helped, TV, that helped, and obviously doing communications and public relations for Cedar Point is a perfect fit now. I'm not a cubicle kind of guy. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't talk. So,
right.
But, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, so maybe one day this will just be so exhausting that I'm like, you know what? It's time to settle down. But I'm not ready to do that yet, because there's a lot of great things coming our way. And it's a fun business to be in. I love it.
Yeah, and you do a great job at it. And I remember back to some of the early days. Let's go back to the origins of the Cedar Point blog real quick. Yeah. I bet some folks remember Tony and Tyler.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That was the early days of all of that, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, people like to boast firsts and argue over who does what first. But I believe the first actual blog, now they weren't called blogs back then, but the first actual record of us doing a blog was the building of, I want to say it was the construction of Millennium Force, when Monty Jasper, back then he was our VP of maintenance and construction. He actually kept people up to date on the web of how the construction progress was going. And that was actually the start of what would be an amusement park blog. And then over the years, people then formalized it. Other parks formalized theirs. We formalized ours, I want to say it was in 2006 or 7. And Tyler Adams and I were in the marketing department. We both kind of were keeping up on what was going on. We wanted to start something that would start engaging with park fans, because, again, back then, social media wasn't as big as it is today. And the only way that people found out about what was going on was if they watched the news, or they, you know, were mailed a press release. We used to fold press releases and put them in envelopes and mail them out to the media. So it was very primitive back then. But the start of that was something that I'm extremely proud of, because it was a new way to interact with park fans, a new way to give insight to our business, and also give a human side to the business. There was always, even when I was at home back in Milwaukee, kind of watching all the parks and looking at Cedar Point, going, "Oh, everybody keeps talking about it. I should go there and visit." Like, you don't really get an idea of the people and the framework that actually makes it function, work, tick. You know, what they do behind the scenes. And so you still have this kind of corporate sense to it, where there isn't a human nature side of it. And that's what we were really trying to do, was start to get that human nature side. And we continue to grow all that presence year after year, and made it different. Now, Tyler has moved on. Obviously, he is, He's working in a different industry. Him and I are still best friends. We talk to each other a lot. He's very successful. He still loves the industry. He loves the tourism business. But the storytelling part of that is still something that the two of us, you know, firmly believe in and are still practicing to this day.
And you guys have done a great job with it. You did a great job back then. You do a fantastic job now. I'm very impressed with what you've done over the years, because again, as somebody who lives close to Cedar Point, again, I'm about 2.5 hours away. You know, I've watched the park and I've watched you with that blog and I've watched everything that you've done. Your title has changed over the years. You're now officially the director of communications. Mm-hmm. And you've really kind of become the face of Cedar Point. Did you intend for that to happen, or did that just kind of happen by accident?
Well, the truth is nobody else wants to do it. Okay. I joke with our team all the time. You know, anytime anybody sees a TV camera or they see me with a camera to take a picture, they run and scurry. You know, the job is not for everybody. I'll say that up front. Today, it's easy to talk about it. You know, back then as a public relations, I think my first title was public relations representative. And it still required that I would do interviews. So I would do radio interviews. I would do TV interviews. But I was actually I had a specific market that I was in charge of. We had three PR people at the time, believe it or not. So all three of us kind of focused on different regions. And I kind of had like the smaller ones when I started. So I had like smaller towns in Indiana. I had a lot of smaller cities in Michigan, some in Pennsylvania, some in Canada. But I still did interviews and still did TV interviews. So all three of us were really faces of Cedar Point. And of course, with the subject matter experts that we pulled in, you know, you'd have Monty Jasper sometimes would do interviews. You'd have someone from our food and beverage team do interviews. So those people are they'll do it when we call on them. You know, like our executive chef, RJ, now he's like the best spokesperson for the food and beverage team because he's just so excited about what he does that you get that sense of pride, and that's kind of what a spokesperson should be. And I think my love for the business, I hope it comes out in what I do, because it started when I was 16, and honestly before that, because I loved it before then, but it started when I was 16. You know, over the years, I just became the person that a lot of people went to and said, hey, can you do this interview? Can you do this? And then even producing videos of construction updates. We did Maverick, I think, was the first time we actually did a video podcast or a video construction update. And so that was our chance to be a little silly, have a little fun, even though back then we were wearing, you know, ties and, you know, super dressy clothes, you know, the formal button down shirt. The culture's changed, obviously, but yeah, I enjoy doing it. A lot of people don't like doing it. They don't like giving speeches, and that's totally cool, because you know what? I don't like to do math. I don't like to do math. I don't like to do Excel. So I tell our accounting team all the time, I say, you guys add stuff up, and I am firmly like standing in awe that you can do this, and you have my admiration. And they say the same thing. I never, ever want to be on camera or never, ever want to do an interview. So it's something that just kind of goes with the territory, especially with my background of, you know, being in radio and being really comfortable talking about whatever, really. But talking about our business and talking about our passion is really something that I love doing. And I'll talk about it with anyone who wants to, you know, do what we're doing now, have a conversation, or do it formally via a podcast or an interview or whatever.
So let me ask you, Tony, and again, to kind of reiterate on your thing, you know, with being on TV, there's a reason that I did radio for so many years. They say that people have a face made for radio.
Yes, yes.
Right here. That is me. There's a reason why I do podcast and audio as opposed to video. But you do video very well up there.
Thanks.
I've always enjoyed it. I know, as others have, the Christmas video that you do. That is become like wildly popular.
Yeah, that was actually a random thing. We said, should we try it? And I think Tyler and I tried it one year, and we lip synced to a song and included some cool winter behind the scenes shots of the park, and people really liked it. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of fun, because for people who don't want to be on camera that are on our team, this was like an opportunity. Okay, so I don't have to do like an official news interview, and you're not going to ask me crazy questions. I just get to like dance with my team. I get to wear an ugly Christmas sweater. It's really just fun. And it's a time to, you know, let all your stresses go away. It's the holidays. People are generally in a good mood. So we just continued that tradition, and we're going to continue that tradition and still do those kinds of things, unless of course we get flagged by YouTube or any other social platforms for using copyrighted audio, which sometimes happens. But it is parody. We're not using it for marketing. It is parody. But it's all in good fun, and the team loves it, and it's a great way to celebrate the season, especially when we're closed. We don't have the Winterfest events or anything like that. So it's a nice way to connect with our guests around the holiday season and do something silly that, again, puts us in a different light. It's not, it's not like we're in the stress of the summer. This shows that our team really does have a good time any time of year.
And it also shows that you have a team that's there during the off season, because that's, a lot of people think that, okay, park is closed and everybody goes home. And that is clearly not the case. What keeps you personally busy during the off season?
My job is very interesting. I think a lot of, if you watch, social, you follow me on Twitter, and I'm not going to call it X. Follow me on Twitter and our social media and stuff. You would think that all I really do is just do video, photo, go out and have fun, give away free stuff on Twitter. But that's really not the case. I think my role is to kind of be a jack of all trades. I guess you'd call me the messaging specialist at the park. So it's not just the stuff that you see that's fun. It's the stuff that's not so fun. I write, like for our guest call centers, for example, if there's a ticket deal that's coming out and there are stipulations around the ticket deal, like it expires on a certain day or people have specific questions, can I extend the validity? Like, I kind of help them craft those guest facing messages so that everybody kind of has the same information. I assist our general manager pretty much as like the press secretary. Carrie Boldman, she's the first female general manager at Cedar Point in its history. She's a wonderful leader. Her and I work very closely together all the time because, we're both exposed to information that is not public. So we have to kind of discuss strategy. There's a lot of meetings that we go to, and, helping support all the other teams, I think, is the biggest thing that I'm currently doing. It's HR needs help. They say to me, how are we going to get the message out that we're hiring? How do we get people to work and to apply at the park? So I help them develop some content for that. The food and beverage team always has new food coming out, so they want to figure out ways to talk about it. You have merchandise that wants to showcase new items. So plus, not to mention construction projects. You have the hotels, all those things that everybody wants their story told. It's kind of like what I have to help them do. But then there's also the random things that happen. Guests, message, the park, and maybe the guest services team doesn't really know how to answer it. They talk to me. I host a few things at the park for different departments when there's guests and associates involved. And there's, the not so fun stuff too, when we have, bad news that's out there. I'm the one that's the lead. Sure. The lead writer and the lead messaging person on some of those. And it works just like a reporter. You gather the facts for all of these, you write down what exactly is happening, and then you figure out how to take that information and compose it into a digestible piece of content that, average people would understand and know. Because our industry does get a lot of jargon and, proximity switches and upstop wheels and, right. Those cost of goods and things like that people just don't use in their everyday language. So, so they ask.
Enthusiasts know it, but not everybody else does.
I'm speaking to the wrong audience. But if you are outside of the ACE audience, that they don't really get a lot of those ins and outs of our business. So I have to kind of figure out, how do we communicate that in a way that's easy to understand? So it's more than just the fun stuff. It's definitely a lot of time spent behind my desk and doing a lot of things, planning. And there's still fun in there too. Don't worry. It's not all just like, pushing papers. It's definitely a lot of fun work too, including planning for future attractions, future rides, future events, that we work together as a team to do. It's fun.
Well, it certainly sounds like it can be fun. It certainly sounds like it can be tough at times as well. So let's go into the tough part of this. I have to ask the question. I don't know how much you can tell me, and if you don't have information, that's fine, but I'd be remiss if I did not ask about Cedar Fair as a whole. And right now, the Cedar Fair Six Flags merger is one of the things that a lot of people are talking about. Do you have any information that you can pass along?
It's a great question, Bob. I know everybody, this is a question I get a lot, and so totally okay to ask it. The merger is a thing that is being managed through our corporate office at Cedar Fair, and obviously with some of the rules that are behind a merger as companies are looking to work together, they can't really disclose a lot of things to a lot of the team. So in truth, I'm actually finding out a lot of this information as you are finding out about it. But I will say that, you know, the publicly stated things so far, you know, and those are the things that are very low hanging fruit that I think a lot of people were immediately going, what does this mean? That's like changing of names and branding and things like that. And Cedar Point will still be Cedar Point. Because we recognize the different kinds of ways that people know brands, and on their half of the house, people know them as Six Flags. On our half of the part of the business, they don't know Cedar Fair as much as they know Cedar Point, Kings Island, Kings Dominion, those kinds of things. So
right.
That was the easy one to kind of get out there right away. But you know, it's going on right now. They've just we just had an earnings call. I believe they said it was due to close, in the first half of the year. And, you know, as soon as we know more, we will share that. And I'm sure our corporate team will provide some guidance on that. But yeah, it's just sit back and watch. And, we're waiting for information just like you are.
All right. And that kind of brings me to another question. How much do you work with the corporate office? Because we know that Cedar Fair is the umbrella company, and we see similar things, at least I do, when I go to Kings Island or I go to Cedar Point or maybe over to Dorney. We see a lot of the same imaging as far as logos go, or like Winter Chill Out, which you just have, and we'll touch base on that here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But they're doing it over at Dorney, if I'm not mistaken. How much do you communicate with the other parks, and how much input do other parks have on what one another does?
I'm glad you asked that, because literally yesterday we had a team call with all of our communications leaders across Cedar Fair. And when we do those calls, now every year we also meet together in person, which is great. We take that time to kind of download what happened in the past year, what worked well for our teams, what did not work well. And we do a lot of sharing of ideas. And one thing, this is another one of those distinctions between our ACE friends and those who are close to the business and those who are not. So you will have recognized some of those things, like if an event. So like we had Brew and Barbecue many, many years ago. And then, you know, some of the other parks were going to have a similar event. Maybe it had a different name, but the logo looked really cool. So they're like, okay, well, let's do a variation of that. Because the truth is, you know, a guest who's going to Cedar Point, let's say from Toledo, perhaps isn't going to Dorney Park. So they're not going to see that or even make the correlation between the two. And if it's a good idea, there is literally nothing wrong with sharing it. So that's kind of how those things happen. We have these meetings, of whether virtual or in person. We talk through, and you mentioned Winter Chill Out, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But that was another one where all the other parks comms people noticed, like, hey, what is that event? And I know you're tie that into charity. How does that work? What are the mechanics of that? How do you guys talk about it? How much money do you raise, et cetera, et cetera? And so once we shared that, a lot of them were like, you know what, this is something that we definitely could do. Because I know my colleague at Valley Fair, Melissa, she does a spring tour, but it was more formal this year because her and I were able to exchange some ideas of how to do that while the park is closed. I know Ryan and his team out at Dorney did their winter chill out. So that's how those things happen. It's usually because it's a good idea to start with, and then all of us steal from each other and use it. But at the average guest who, you know, is just casually visiting or is a regular Cedar Point visitor and never goes to Dorney or Valley Fair or any other park, they're right, not going to see those things either. So
along those lines, you say that, you know, the public relations folks, the communications folks all get together. Do policies come from the top down, like, say, the clear bag policy for Halloweekends or any Halloweekends restrictions? Do those come from the top of the organization, or are those parks specific?
That's a great question. I think a lot of that, well, I don't think, I know. A lot of those policies do come from our corporate safety team, and the corporate safety team does their own calls with each other on their safety teams across the parks. And then they kind of discuss the same things that your comms folks would be doing. So they would be talking about, what are the guest issues that we have in the park? What are some of the security challenges we may face in the year? What are some of the ride safety policies that are out there that we want to either enhance or relax a little bit, depending on the manufacturer? So there's all those similar kind of conversations are happening across all of our departments, food and beverage, merchandise. They all have their own group or team meetings where they talk through these things. And that's kind of how those policies start to come down. And it really does. It really is driven by the corporate team, and they decide. And by the way, another benefit to that is that the policies are pretty consistent. So, you know, if we have a safety policy let's say about, you know, just general bags in the park. That policy is it's written once with all the details and is given to everybody. So everybody has the exact same safety policy. So you don't have one park doing something completely different. And then everybody's on the same page. So there is benefit to doing that. And I think that it works pretty well for how we have it set up now. And of course, on the ride side, there's that gets a little squirrely because, you know, each manufacturer and each attraction is different. So you can't really just stamp a safety rule all the way across the board. So that's why they're all different.
That's good information to have. I've always wondered about that because you see those kinds of things and you wonder what the genesis of some of those policies and some of those ideas are. And it's good to know that things are shared so that, you know, what we get at Cedar Point, other people can enjoy as well, because the winter chill out is one of the fantastic events that you do. I'm sorry to say that I've missed the last 2 years because of the lottery.
Sorry.
Sure you are.
Here it comes.
You're absolutely right. Again, I got to go a couple of years ago. I really enjoyed it. It's really a neat behind the scenes tour that you get to take. It's not often that you get to go into some of those restricted areas and actually put your hand on the track. And I love when I get to do that. I get to put my hand on the track and say that I've actually had my hand at that point right there at that, you know, and the people who are with me are like, yeah, we don't care. But to me, it's really cool. Now you had to, because it got so popular, you had to go to a lottery system.
Oh yes.
Give me a little bit of background on that and how that works, because we all grumble about it. And I'm going to ask you about what you see on social media and how much you pay attention to that.
Yeah.
But give me a little clarity around the process of the lottery, if you can, please.
Well, I am so glad you asked that. I don't actually get a lot of chances to explain, you know, how we do these types of things. And I can't do it. I certainly can't do it on Twitter because I think, you know, a lot of there's the whole keyboard warrior thing. And I don't want to go back and forth and back and forth. I'd rather kind of just state it simply. And then, you know, people can draw their own conclusions. But we have as the event has grown in popularity, we continue to have a finite amount of tickets that we can actually do. And that is because the capacity of the team at the park. And the good thing about this, and I'm pretty proud of us for doing these things over the years, we've tried many different ways to do the event. We've tried lottery, not lottery. We've tried escorted, not escorted. And the truth is, I am also a believer in transparency. As much as I can tell you about something, I will. And Winter Chill Out is something that I'm very passionate about because I do know how much people want to go. And I also know how many people are disappointed that they can't go. But the truth is, you know, it's kind of like, think of it as like a Taylor Swift ticket on sale date, okay? So our old ticket system, like still our current ticket system, when you put a high demand ticket on sale at the exact time and you tell the whole world that it's going to be on sale at that time and there's only X amount of tickets available, and believe me, there are many less tickets for Winter Chill Out than there are for a Taylor Swift concert, you're going to have a little bit of chaos. And so, you know, the first time one of the most recent ones we did, it pretty much crashed our system. You know, some people were in the middle of a transaction and somebody had snatched their tickets before they were able to complete their transaction. It was not good. It was not a good experience. And we fully recognized that. And the next year we tried something a little bit different because we worked that out with our ticketing partner, and it still resulted in a lot of people not being able to purchase their tickets. So then the next year we said, let's try something completely different that doesn't rely on our ticketing system. And that was the lottery, where we asked people to fill out the form to be entered into the lottery. And then we would randomly pick people to get a link to purchase tickets so that there wouldn't be a crash of our system. And I will tell you that there is no specific selection. I think a lot of people think we hand pick people. We do not. It is a random selection from the database. We don't sit there and go down a list and highlight the people we want to invite. It is random. And the issue with that one is that we're experiencing is that some people will sign up for anything and they don't even know what they're signing up for. And right. As a result, they probably signed up. They saw it on social media. They signed up for it and had no intention of purchasing a ticket. Maybe they thought it was a giveaway. Maybe they thought something else. I don't know. It happens. But there were a lot of people, and still were this year, that did not purchase the ticket and probably weren't interested in the event. So the manual process of drawing a whole new group of people, you know, emailing them and giving them a link to purchase tickets. It's a very labor intensive process. So, you know, we're looking at ways to do it next year that are a little bit different, that give everybody the same access. It might be a lottery. It might not. We don't know yet. But, you know, we can only do so much in the park. You know, one year we let everybody kind of roam freely on a self-guided tour, and people were naughty. And we don't like naughty people in the park, and naughty people are asked to leave. And because of that, it wasn't just one person, as they say, you know, one person ruins it for the rest of
right.
us. It was multiple people who went in places they weren't supposed to go. They took pictures of things they weren't supposed to take pictures of. So it was just not, our team was not comfortable with that, especially after inviting everyone into our home when it's closed. And, you know, we give you the rules when you get to the event, and they didn't follow the rules. So the guided tour is the way to go. And, you know, this year was a little hairy. Apparently everybody had to use the restroom at the same time. So we had a little
I saw that.
Had a little restroom shortage, and we fully acknowledge that, and we will fully resolve that next year. We can't just open bathrooms because they are winterized. We're in Northern Ohio and pipes freeze, but we will definitely make improvements for next year, because I am a big believer in, I would like to try something, and if it fails, it fails, and we've learned some hard lessons, but we're going to give it another go. That's kind of what I believe in with everything I try. So if this doesn't work, we try this differently next year, and that's what we're going to do. We'll change some things about the event next year. But the gist of all this is, and the big thing about all this is, it's a fundraiser for charity, and $108,000 was raised for A Kid Again, which is an organization that has chapters throughout the country. But we work with the Northern Ohio chapter, and that's a lot of money that will give kids with life-threatening illnesses a chance to go and do family fun things that we all take for granted. So in the end, it is all for charity, but unfortunately, you know, there are some that are very vocal about, you know, a few things that, you know, didn't go well or didn't go how they expected it, because there's also probably an expectation that it's going to be like a normal park day, and it's not. So we have a lot of work to do. We'll make it better. We take the feedback, we listen to it, we read it, and we take that into heart, and we will again give it another try next year and make it even better.
Well, A Kid Again is certainly a great charity. They're here in Central Ohio as well. They do a lot of really great things, and I've actually worked with them in the past on a few things. And again, just a fantastic charity. So I'm really glad that Cedar Point does that. And again, like I told you, I attended a couple of years ago. I believe that I don't think that my tour was the guided one. I didn't do anything wrong, because I know you and I didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that I'm okay. And
sure.
By the way, the last name is Randolph for the upcoming lottery or drawing.
We're not gonna do it that way. It's not how that works. It's not how that works. Trust me, I have really good friends that have said, hey, is there any chance you can get me a ticket? And I say, hey, no. I love you. No, I love you, but no, sorry.
I'm sure you get hammered with that kind of stuff.
I do.
All the time.
Yeah.
So you said that you take all the feedback from that. Let's talk about feedback for a minute.
Sure.
And social media, because I know that you are a master at getting the internet all kinds of worked up on social media. We talked about the Christmas video earlier, and you also do Twitter, and I'm with you. I'll still call it Twitter.
Good.
I remember a couple of years ago, you posted just a simple to-do list.
You're still going to bring that. It's still out there, isn't it?
I'm sure that it is. Mm-hmm. One of those items just so happened to be have lunch with RMC.
Yeah.
And the next thing we know, boom, bang, gone. Mean Streak was getting a makeover. How much do you enjoy, number one, getting us all kinds of riled up? And number two, how much do you actually pay attention to what the fans are saying on social media?
Oh, well, you know, that's another thing. It's gotten so big and so big of a monster to manage. And I'm talking about all social media. So whether you're doing it at home and you're just, you know, you have multiple accounts, you know, you're like, where am I supposed to go for information? What am I supposed to keep up with? What is that trend? What are you doing? And imagine us on our end going, okay, which ones do we want to focus on? Where do we post what content? You know, the thing about my particular Twitter handle is that, you know, I started mine to be, and this was an experiment many, many, many years ago. It was to be a breakaway from the main Cedar Point social media channels. So mine was more daily fan interaction, a little sarcasm and fun. I know my sarcasm is not for everyone. I fully acknowledge that. I am self-aware. But I think that, you know, there's that little give and take, you know, like we get a lot of a lot of people that poke fun at us for certain things, and I'll use, you know, our sea of concrete at the park, you know, and they say, well, where are all the trees? And then I'll say, well, we cut them all down because you wanted a roller coaster, you know, like something like that would be, right. would be an interaction that I would just be doing in jest because yes, we're fully aware of what people say. I see things all the time. People share things that they see on the internet. My team anyway, at the park, they will send me things that they see on the internet. So yeah, we keep track of it. We watch it. It's hard to keep up with. And I, you know, the main point of this is this is supposed to be fun. And my wish is that people will look at our business and understand how all of it works as a whole. So, you know, you get some people that are really laser focused on, well, you don't have this roller coaster, so I don't like your park. And then you have some people that say, when are you going to build something for a family? You're just all roller coasters, but then they don't have the full like scope of the business. We can't do all that for everybody every year. So when you appreciate all parts of the business and you kind of understand why we make certain decisions or why, you know, certain things are done or what types of roller coasters we build and that sort of thing, I think you get more of a broader understanding and maybe, a little bit more, appreciation for the stuff that goes into it. Because unfortunately, you know, as the spokesperson, I also am the person that people interact with daily. I also refer to myself as the punching bag. So when when people have bad experiences at the park or something like that, they tag me and I don't ignore any of them. I anytime anybody has an experience in the park, I tell people that if it's not good, they need to tell somebody right away so we have the opportunity to fix it. Please don't go home and be a keyboard warrior and then say how much it was bad, but then you didn't give us an opportunity to make your day better. And that's kind of my big thing, that my soul of social media, you know, I want to solve anyone's problems, challenges, issues, questions, hopefully in the moment, not me personally all the time. Obviously our team can do that too, but let us do that in the moment and then make the experience better. But it's just getting bigger and bigger. We're focusing on the traditional stuff, Facebook, Twitter. We do a little bit of TikTok. We have Instagram, and that's kind of YouTube for me is a big passion. So I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel. So all those things we're focusing on, and trying to keep up with what people are saying and what people are asking on all of them. And it's hard. It's really hard.
It's not an undertaking. Huge undertaking.
Yeah. It's not easy, especially when, you know, you look at what we now call content creators, which we love. They have their own channels that they focus on certain things, and like they have like one channel, right? But then they kind of like share their content on other channels. We are like, we have content all over the place, and I don't even know sometimes when stuff is out there or, you know, when we're running a promotion or whatever. And it is really hard to keep up as our business grows, but it's still a lot of fun. The honesty, the candid speak, I have always enjoyed that. Now, some people are downright mean, I'm not going to lie. And I will say this, you know, when I was in television, people used to make fun of me when I went to restaurants and I would like, you know, I would feature a family restaurant and they would make me something and I would literally take two bites of something that they made for me and do it on the air. You know, like, oh, this is really good. This is your egg salad. I don't know. And then people would immediately go on Facebook and like, you know, you really should stop eating so much. Your calorie count's going to go up, or, you know, your cholesterol is going to get really bad if you continue to eat like that. And you learn to get a thick skin, but after a while you're kind of like, okay, like I don't understand where that's coming from. And so it's kind of the same way. It's like, our fans are very passionate, just like, you know, I would say like, you know, your Disney fans are passionate, or even Squishmallow fans are passionate.
Oh yes.
So when you have someone who's like laser focused on like one thing, they're definitely going to have an opinion. And I just, my hope for the world is that, you know, these things become more respectful and more understanding, and everyone has a right to not have a good time. I go and live my life and I have not so great experiences at places, but the last thing I do is get on their Facebook page and say, I was just in there and it was terrible, without speaking to someone, you know? So it's just, I wish that kind of was more the culture around social media, but it just makes it easy for people to say things, you know, that are not so nice and not really have, you know, that instant interaction with another person and not have that dialogue. But I enjoy it. It is a challenge. It's fun. And I still will have my silly, sassy attitude. I do love the park at heart and I love the business. And that's really where that passion comes from.
Well, I see the next big thing on the Cedar Point website, mean tweets with Tony.
No, well, you know, what's really funny. So can I tell you an inside baseball thing?
Sure.
At the risk of probably getting in trouble. We have a Monday a Monday leadership team meeting where all the leaders of every division, you know, meets with Carrie, our general manager. And, you know, she said to me, because, you know, food and beverage team, for example, like Bob Marks is our VP of food and beverage. He, you know, he said, look what someone sent me today. And it'd be like a comment about something very specific, like this super shake was, you know, ridiculous. And I can't believe that anybody would actually eat it or something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, welcome to my life, like every 5 minutes. Right. But Carrie suggested, God, she's going to be so mad at me if she hears this. She said, you know, we should just do like a mean tweets day where we just gather all of the mean tweets and we look at them, we read them, and just kind of, you know, have a little moment of brevity while we're discussing serious issues, because there's just a lot of them out there, and it's you read them and you're like, I can't believe somebody actually said that, you know. But, you know, just those kinds of people, I will love to have a good dialogue with someone, but the minute it starts turning south where they're swearing or they're really just being disrespectful and mean, they get the block button on any of our social channels. I've seen other guests, you know, when we post something and, you know, guests go back and forth fighting with each other, I block the mean people there too, because that's not what our community is about. We're about having fun. We're about making people happy. It's about fun. It should definitely not be bringing the crankiness of the world into the business, you know?
Absolutely. As you go to Cedar Point to have a good day, that's the best day ever.
Absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken. The tweet ups, when you started doing those years ago, you started, you know, just giving away some stuff, you know, some fast line passes and that kind of thing. And then the coins. Oh boy, the coins. Yeah. Did you ever envision that all of those tweet ups and those coins would become as popular as they have over the years?
The short answer to that is no. We actually started the tweet ups in 2013 when Gatekeeper opened, and one of the members on my communications team, who has now moved on to bigger and better things also, his name is Jordan Sternberg. He was our primary photographer and videographer for many years.
I remember Jordan.
Yeah, he actually suggested it. And so we said, all right, well, let's give it a go. So we worked with a company to create these unique one-of-a-kind coins for us. We made 500 of them, and we just kind of made it a thing. And it was a great way to not just be on Twitter, but to also now get into the park and just have a little casual conversation and a meetup with the people that love us so much. So it started there. And then, you know, then we added, like, you know, exit passes and food and beverage things like free drinks and stuff like that. And it just got nuts, because now people want to run across the park every time we give one away, and we tell people they cannot run, because if we see them running, that's not safe, and we will not give them a prize. But
hashtag no running.
Hashtag no running, please. But it's become a popular way to interact with guests. And even after the tweet up is over and we've given away the prizes, it's still great to have a conversation with people, you know, whether they're having a great day, whether they're having an okay day, or whether they're not having a great day. It's a great time to just chat about the business, about what the park is like that day. And so it's, for me, it's become a good sense of joy, because I get to go out into the park and not sit at my desk. And we have our interns and some of our seasonal staff go out there and do it too. But that was really the impetus of that, was just to get out and do that, to give people interaction with the team, and to for us to actually, you know, go out and see people and see what they're thinking in real time.
Yeah, and I love the tweet up coins. I've probably got 5 of them over the last. I know I have the Gatekeeper one for sure, and I was so excited to get that. I know there's been a couple of times I've actually hung around in the park, probably later than what I really wanted to, just waiting for you to give your location.
I know,
so that I didn't have to run.
Well, and that's the thing. That I apologize. Secondly, we can't do them every day, obviously, because we do have a workload on our other side of the house where we, you know, do our regular jobs. But that's why they're so random, because when we see our schedule kind of opens up and we have time to go out and do it, I think it also prevents, you know, another winter chill out ticket purchase situation where everyone is waiting at Matterhorn at 5 p.m., sure, you know, where there's a long line. It just makes things kind of crazy. So that's why we do them at random. This year's coin, actually, I didn't share it yet, but it's currently in production. The design is different. It's still a coin, obviously. It's still numbered. We only do 500 of them. But the design and the finish are different, and I think people really don't like it. I decided to do it different just because of Top Thrill 2, so that should be fun to see. We'll reveal that as soon as I have one in my hand, but I'm excited to get that delivered, that's for sure.
Ooh, kind of exclusive information. I love it. Yes.
Yes, and perhaps if you're nice, I'll save one for you.
Oh, you would be the man. So I'll tell you what, I will go and get you a Cops burger if you say one.
You know what, though? I'm good, because by the time you got that Cops burger here, it would definitely not be as good as the Cops burger there. So,
And I can't really guarantee that it would make it back either.
Yeah, so, that too. It's a long way to travel for freshness, so I'll pass. I'll just save one for you. How's that?
That would be fantastic. I appreciate that. Good. So let's talk about Top Thrill 2, because that is the big ride this year.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go into some details on Top Thrill 2. Number one, why the name? Why? I know, and I don't want to get into all the specifics of the hows and whys and whatnots and all that stuff. Why Top Thrill 2, and how did that process come up with that name?
That's a great question, too. The naming of any attraction is like a WWE wrestling match. You have a giant spectacle. You have a lot of participants and a lot of things going on. And we probably could sell out an arena if people could watch what the naming process looks like.
Well, I'd buy a ticket. I'm right there.
See all of us duke it out in the arena. It's an interesting process. It is a combination of many things. You have, you know, your marketing teams at the parks, you know, specifically here at Cedar Point, you have our marketing team. You have the operations team that has some input. You have the general manager that has input. You have our design team in Charlotte that has input, who, by the way, are primarily, you know, they do the storytelling idea generation for the storytelling around our attractions and the colors, the designs and things like that. So you have a lot of parties that are intimately interested, involved in what the outcome is of a ride name or a restaurant name or whatever. And in this case, one of the things that we wanted to preserve was the words Top Thrill. That was more of our marketing team and park team's ask, was that in the process, you know, let's keep Top Thrill because it has equity in it. People know what that is. Obviously, it is no longer a drag racing themed ride, so we couldn't, you know, do anything with the dragster part of it, but Top Thrill was something that we felt that should stay. Now, what came after it or how it was incorporated, that was kind of up to everybody to figure out. And ultimately, the vote ended up with Top Thrill 2, as in the next iteration, i.e. the sequel, i.e. you know, the next chapter of the story. And not everybody got their wish. Some people did, some people didn't, but that's kind of what happens when you do a vote and, you know, you let everybody put their input in, and something has to come out of it eventually, because you have to do logos, you have to do trademark, you have to do all that stuff. So definitely lots of people, lots of cooks in that kitchen, always, but ultimately, you know, those decisions are made down there in Charlotte, and you know, it's really the input's given. That's the best part, is we still get to contribute. So we say, hey, we want to do this and here's why, or we want this to be this and here's why. But you know, collectively they make a decision, and then it's done.
Any names that were kicked around that didn't make it that you can share?
The Magic Ace ride was pitched, but it was rejected. Bob's Amazing Launch Coaster, that one also was rejected.
Oh, see, I like that the best out of all of them so far.
Two big towers in the sky was also rejected. We do save these, by the way, so I cannot tell you the rejected names. So okay. whenever we do have a name or a ride, we do keep a collection of these names and these ideas, and should they make sense for a future attraction, we've already kind of done that homework. Steel Vengeance was not just made out of nowhere. That was actually a piece of that name was a suggested name for another attraction.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So we combined that with Steel, because Steel is obviously what it was now, so it became Steel Vengeance.
The keychains that folks got at Coaster Mania.
Yep.
Those CP Racing keychains.
Yep.
Have you announced what those are going to be for yet?
Nope.
Are you going to announce what they're going to be for?
Nope. No, we will. We will. I know everyone's. So I thought there's another one of those Tony ideas that if it goes very well, it's going to be great. If it doesn't go well, I'm going to crash and burn. So that was my idea. We had the CP Racing logo done Because it was always part of the concept of like the storytelling of the ride, that you would enter this paddock where CP Racing is the sponsor and Top Thrill 2 is the actual vehicle you get in or whatever. So the CP Racing logo was done. So I thought, okay, what if we took the racing part out of it, just gave them the CP and Coaster Mania. Wow, that's a great time because those are coaster fans. They already know something's going on over there. Let's just give them a little nugget. And so we gave them a nugget and I told everybody there, hang on to this. And I'll be honest with you, a little behind the scenes, this is not a PR answer. On June 2nd or whatever it was last year, I had no idea what we were doing with those keychains. But the gist of it was that that keychain would give you access to something that had to do with the ride. And as of today, we do have a plan for those. It will still give you access to the ride, but we have to share that when we are ready to share everything else that we're doing leading up to the opening of Top Thrill 2. So it's not yet appropriate to share that today, but in the next few weeks, we should be able to release all that and then let people finally in on the keychain secret. You'll see people randomly tweet me, keychains? And under any other circumstances, somebody might look at that and go, what are they talking about?
And you know what it means.
Here's me. I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, well, we will definitely share that in the next few weeks, including, you know, other ways to ride Top Thrill 2 for pass holders. We have the pass holder preview coming up as well. You know, so those that all will come in a few weeks and you'll be able to use that keychain for sure. I promise you.
All right. Fantastic. So, again, without getting into some of the specifics, because I know we don't want to go down that path, the queue line, are there going to be any changes to the queue line?
Yeah, the queue, and by the way, I've also been yelled at for calling it a queue line. So I just call it queue now because it is just a queue.
Oh, true. Very true.
So another one of those little nuances, right? People who are close to the business, they're like, no, it's just a queue. That's like saying QQ or line. Yes, the line is going to be relatively in the same place. If you looked in the animation, you did see there's some minor changes to it. The queue is now covered for the most part. There is a separate fast lane line that will go up to the station and they will meet up there together at the top of the loading platform. And that's where you will split whether you are fast lane plus or you are just a regular rider. So yes, it's pretty much in the same place. The entry portal is the same. You still go underneath that concrete barrier wall type thing. We've added, if you look at our latest Top Thrill 2 pit stop, you can see the entry portal roof that's just in front of that space. And then there will be a bigger portal further down the midway that has the logo on it and the two racing helmet type images that are in the concept renderings. So that still has yet to be built, but they're quickly working on that. They should be finished with that stuff here in the next few weeks too. They're moving very fast. Then again, we've not had a winter, so right. they've been able to get a lot of stuff done at the ride.
Excellent. Okay, so you mentioned the fast lane. I know that there are some changes to fast lane this year, as specifically with regards to Top Thrill 2. Can you address those?
Yeah. So the when you buy Fast Lane Plus, you can use the fast lane access for any of the other rides as many times as you want. For Top Thrill 2, it's one-time access. And there's a few reasons for that. You know, just like when Steel Vengeance debuted, we knew we had a super popular attraction on our hands. The demand is high. And ultimately, you know, this is where, you know, you may disagree, you may agree, but if you understand the full scope of the business, you know that we don't want to make people upset, angry, not have a good day if they are standing in, you know, a super long line when they've invested in something like Fastlane. So what we've done is for now, you know, we've done the one-time access if you buy Fastlane Plus, and that actually will help keep that Fastlane line's integrity intact so that it does not turn into, you know, a line that goes all the way down the midway and up to Gatekeeper. That's one of the reasons why we did that. I think that the demand thing here is really the concern. We know a lot of people are going to want to ride the ride. We know that the regular line will be, you know, pretty full most of the time. And with Fastlane, you're going to buy that access. But the ultimate way really to do it is to do the escorted front of the line VIP tour that we have. And that is completely different. That'll get you the unlimited front row or front of the line access on all of the rides, because it's just like it's a guided VIP tour. But for Fastlane Plus, that's kind of why we landed where we did.
All right. Excellent. Because I know there's been a lot of questions going on about that. So tell me what else is coming up for the point this year.
Well, there's the roller coaster. And then we do have a few new food items that are going to be tied to Top Thrill 2. And I'm so excited that next Thursday they've told me I get to try them. So we will probably put out some video content about that and what's on the menu. Chef RJ and his team have crafted some what I've been told are some visually appealing and interesting dishes that tie into Top Thrill 2. So I'm excited about that. So those will be neat. We have a new event coming up this summer called Boardwalk Nights, and that is going to celebrate everything about our new section of the park, the boardwalk. And you'll know there is an actual boardwalk that's been part of our history since the beginning. That's outside the park along the beach. And then we named our newer area of the park the boardwalk inside to kind of pay homage to what, you know, what the park experience might have been like in the past. So there are going to be lots of great entertainment, and we're like big spectacle type of entertainment. There's going to be, you know, specific food items for that. There will be some lots of great light displays that the entertainment team is working on. And it's just another great way to celebrate nighttime at Cedar Point. That happens July 19th and it runs through August 18th, I believe. And so that's the new thing for this year. Those are the big things. You know, the usual Coaster Mania comes back on June 7th. We have our fireworks for two nights this year, July 4th and 5th for Light Up the Point. Hollow Weekends returns. The eclipse is coming 1 month or so, less than a month away. On April 8th, the total eclipse of the point, we are in the path of totality. So that means that it should, if conditions allow, it should be pretty dark in the middle of the day. And it's a limited ticket event. The boardwalk area of the park will be open with some rides. There's some special food things that the team is cooking up, and the tickets are limited and they are almost sold out. So if you were thinking about coming up here for the eclipse, you should go check that on the website. But yeah, other than that, you know, the entertainment lineup will be introduced here shortly on our website, including the descriptions of those shows. We have a few other little things in the park that are not like huge newsmakers, but some tech upgrades that we're doing in different places. We have upgraded our Wi-Fi in the park, so your Wi-Fi experience should be much better, particularly if you're in Frontier Town. That was always kind of a dead zone for us, and even with cell service, it was kind of a dead zone. So we've enhanced our Wi-Fi coverage there. And I think those are the big ones. I mean, I think obviously Top Thrill 2 is the big attraction. I think it's the biggest debut we've had in a very, very, very long time. Obviously, Steel Vengeance was great. Val Raven was great. The original Top Thrill was great. This one, though, is going to be, you know, pretty high caliber. So we're anxious to get it open. We're anxious to start the whole summer season, get people on the ride, share people with the progress as we get closer to opening day. But yeah, those are the biggies.
Something else that I saw, Tony, recently is that Snake River Expedition is closing.
Yeah, it is.
So anything that you can share, what might be going into that area at some point in the future?
Well, yeah, I'll talk about that for a little bit here for you, because I know a lot of people have questions. When we decide to close attractions or, you know, make changes, it isn't just because we randomly decide, hey, let's just close that. That's not how that works. The quote we've used over many, many years is people vote with their feet. And so when we close an attraction, Wicked Twister is another great example. You look at the amount of people that rode it, the amount of people that actually enjoyed the ride. You look at, you know, maybe cost to operate. Sometimes parts get expensive, and the longevity of the ride is not feasible for us as a business. All those kinds of factors go into it. So it's not just which one should we cross off the map today? It's more of, what do guests say about it? How many guests are actually enjoying it? You know, what are our costs involved with that attraction? All those things kind of play a role. We do ask guest feedback, by the way, all the time. When you purchase a ticket and you leave the park after your visit, we typically send out a survey immediately after so that you can give us your feedback on how your visit went. The questions change sometimes. Sometimes they ask, hey, what would you like to see at the park? Hey, what did you not like about your visit? What was your least visited attraction? What would you never ride? Those kinds of questions get asked all the time. So with that said, that's kind of what happened here. There's guest feedback, there's research, there's ridership, all those things kind of go into it. Now, do we have plans for the future for that area? Of course, we always have plans. We are already working on our next big attraction, and where that will be, I can't really say. But the island is in particular, and again, not related to the attraction or any future attractions. The island is very special. We recognize that fully. We know that that is a underutilized piece of land. You know, same thing happened with Forbidden Frontier when we did that attraction. Right. Great storytelling attraction. People who did it loved it, but not enough people did it. That is the challenge. You know, when you have a few hundred visitors or whatever the number was, you know, a small number of guests that actually interact with an attraction and enjoy an attraction, the longevity of that is just not feasible. So that's kind of the story there. But obviously the island is there. It has infrastructure. It's got a restaurant or a food service location. It's got restrooms. Currently has a climbing structure that was very popular amongst, you know, families and kids who don't, you know, ride the big rides. So we're fully aware. We are fully self-aware that that is a valuable and really unique piece of land on the property. There are some challenges with that, though, because it is still a natural wetland around it. So anytime we make changes, you know, there's a long process of going through requests with the Army Corps of Engineers and things like that. So it's not as simple as, oh, well, we'll just plop a support structure right there in the middle of the water. It's a little bit more complicated, but just because of our natural state of being a peninsula on Lake Erie that's been here for a very long time. So, there's exciting stuff coming in the future. I always say that as a PR guy. I know it's like cliche, but I'll tell you, we are literally talking about that next big attraction now. We're going to have good stuff coming up still. Top Thrill. Now, will we see, you know, an 800 foot tall roller coaster? I don't think any park's going to build that. As much as people say, please, please build 500, 600, 700 feet. Steel's very expensive. The products are getting more expensive, just like your, the food you're eating and everything else. All of that is going up, and it's going up for us too. So we just have to be very judicious and careful about what we build and you know, how our guests will react and what we really need in the park. That's also part of it too. But good stuff is coming. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, then let me check off, because I had my list of things here. So the 800 foot coaster is off the list.
I knew it.
Is the 500 footer on the list. The 500 footer actually was on my list to ask you about. Yeah. So I'm glad that you addressed that and thank you for that.
Let me say this. That's not to say they would never happen. I mean, you never know. Maybe things turn around and all of a sudden, they decide that Cedar Point is going to be the park that's going to get every park's investment dollars. So no other park gets anything new this year, but Cedar Point is going to get that 600 foot tall roller coaster. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. But, you know,
well, I tell you what, I am going to look in that Christmas video that you do this upcoming year, because that is where you tend to hide those clues.
Uh-huh.
And we scour that thing frame by frame. You know that, don't you?
Of course we know that. That's why we do it. Because we know that's why I tweet the things I tweet, because I just know that everyone just goes completely crazy when they see something that might be a clue. And you know what? There's stuff that literally is what it is, and people still think it's a clue when it really isn't. So it's just fun, because people, you know, they think in their minds what they want to believe, and it's fun to watch, that's for sure. It's fun.
Oh, I'm sure you have a boatload of fun watching that, because you know what's going on. The rest of us don't. We all speculate about it, and we go nuts during the off season.
Yeah.
Tony Clark, the director of communications at Cedar Point. Tony, this has been a lot of fun for me, because I got to ask a lot of questions that I've wanted to ask over the years. Thank you for your time, and I really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. I think it's always fun to talk about the business and the behind the scenes and the ins and outs of how things are done. And, like I said, I'm always about answering those questions and being as transparent as I can and getting people excited about what we do. You know, maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would love to get into the business. I mean, those are the kinds of conversations I love to have, because I like to keep it real and kind of tell people what it is and if it's right for them. And this is fun. We love, and I would be remiss if I didn't say we love Ace. We've had a great relationship with them for many, 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 many years. We love when Ace visits the park and has events, and we continue to want to have those relationships. And, you know, maybe we'll have Tony and Bob's Cops Burger Top Thrill 2 ERT Ace party someday this summer. I don't know.
Ooh, I like the sounds of that.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Hey, if I have to make a trip to Wisconsin, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team.
Well, you got
to
figure out how to get those burgers here without getting nasty by the time they get to Sandusky. That's all.
Oh, now see, now you're getting into the details. Details.
The details matter, people. The details matter. We don't want people getting sick. We want a nice, fresh Cops burger. That's what we want.
Absolutely, because everybody should enjoy that at least once in their life. Tony Clark, again, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, everyone. Come say hi and see us this summer. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you so much to Bob Randolph and to Tony Clark for taking the time out of your day to talk to us enthusiasts. We cannot wait for Top Thrill 2. And we don't want you to miss out on any news about Cedar Point or any other park. So make sure you're checking our website, ridewithace.com, and also follow Ace everywhere you consume your social media to keep on top of the news day to day. We're on Facebook, X, Threads, Pinterest, LinkedIn. Make sure you're connected to Ace's pages on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, and Discord. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and give us 5 stars if you can. Rate and review. And if you have any questions, comments, or podcast episode pitches for us, please reach out to podcast@aceonline.org. Thanks for listening. Hope you get to ride a coaster today.
Ride With Us is produced by the American Coaster Enthusiasts, a registered 501c3 organization. Visit ridewithace.com for additional information, and we will see you at the parks.